The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. The day after John had baptized Jesus, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. When I was excuse me. Let's start again. When I was growing up, I had a dream that one day I would become a designer of fast cars and fighter jets. All throughout my childhood, whenever I had an opportunity, I would sketch and draw cars and planes, whether I was at home, on the bus to school, in class, and sometimes even in church. For birthdays, my friends would give me books on planes and cars, posters for my walls, and scaled hobby models for me to build. That was a while ago, and obviously that is far from what I do today. I suppose I could have worked on fulfilling this dream, but God had other plans. So sometimes a dream is really just a personal aspiration. Our stories of Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany also contain dreams. Mary's husband, Joseph, was feeling anxious about Mary's pregnancy. So an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him not to be afraid, that the child she was bearing is from the Holy Spirit. The wise men from the east were also warned in the dream not to return to Herod, but to find another way to Jesus. Sometimes a dream serves as a way for God to speak to us. Sometimes things happen in our lives that are beyond our wildest dreams. In today's gospel, Andrew met Jesus, who invited Andrew to follow him, to come and see. Andrew did just that, and what followed was an extraordinary life of testifying to the life of Jesus. And he would become celebrated in the history of the church as Jesus' first disciple. And Peter, his brother, became Cephas, the rock, transforming from a local fisherman to become the rock on which the church was built. He would be the one to hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Both Andrew and Peter lived abundant lives, shining God's light on this world. Sometimes life unfolds beyond our wildest dreams. Dr. King had a dream. Over 50 years ago in Washington, D.C., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. dreamt that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Dr. King's dream was for all of us, all who are created equal, to be treated equal, that there would be liberty, justice, and dignity for every human being. This weekend, we take time to celebrate his life and also to remember that this dream, this fight for civil liberty, is not over, and there is much work still to be done. Sometimes a dream is a vision of what ought to be. And God has a dream. From the beginning of time, God has a dream of love, creating each one of us in the first place, out of love, naming and knowing us in our mother's womb, just as the prophet Isaiah wrote in our reading this morning. God seeks to love us and desires for us to love God and love one another. And it is this dream of love that is the foundation of Dr. King's dream, that God loves each one of us so much, yet also God loves each one of us so equally, that propels us to want that same love for each other. But God doesn't dream alone. We all are invited to dream together with God. In his book, God Has a Dream, Archbishop Desmond Tutu writes this about God. God says, "I have a dream. Please help me to realize it. It is a dream of a world whose ugliness and squalor and poverty, its war and hostility, its greed and harsh competitiveness, its alienation and disharmony are changed into their glorious counterparts, when there will be more laughter and joy and peace, where there will be justice and goodness and compassion and love and caring and sharing. I have a dream," God says, "that my children will know that they are members of one family, the human family, God's family, my family." But God doesn't dream alone. God dreams with us and for us and through us. In our Isaiah reading, we read that God created Israel to be a light to the nations, so that the message of hope and love and salvation will reach the end of the earth. Israel was part of God's dream. And in our gospel reading, Jesus draws Andrew and Peter to himself to become his disciples, to experience God's love, so that they too can become part of God's dream. 18 years ago, several of you had a dream right here that was also part of God's dream. Johnny McIntyre, Sally Hill, Cheryl Gutierrez, you all, along with several other women and men of St. Francis, had a dream that all should have a fair chance at obtaining a college education, so that they got together and started the St. Francis Outreach Scholarship Fund because they wanted to help mentor and support students from all different backgrounds to get into college and to finish college. Many have benefited from their efforts and the generosity of this community. Today, you can even meet one of the scholarship recipients, Catherine, after the 10 o'clock service, this service. This scholarship fund is just one of many ways of aligning our dreams with God's dream of bringing light into the world. So what are your dreams? And how do we align this dream with God's dream? Dr. King's speech gives us a picture to work toward. One day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Dr. King's picture captivates me because it reminds me of the glory of sunsets, and because my wife, Christine, loves sunsets. There's something magnificent and glorious about sunsets for her. So whenever we travel, we would always arrange our schedule to catch at least one sunset together. Over the holidays, we were in Sedona, Arizona, and in search of a sunset. But that one day, we got off to a late start. So by the time we got to the recommended viewing spot, the sun had already set beyond or behind a hill to the west. So what did we do? We immediately turned the car around and drove toward the hill and up to the hill. It was a race against time. And then, there it was. We got out of the car, sat on a rock, and watched a glorious Sedona sunset. But when we have mountains and valleys, we don't all get to see the glorious sunset together. Only those on the mountaintop get to see the sun set over the horizon. So how might we lower the hills and the mountains and lift up the valleys so all can experience the glory and the love of God together? That is God's dream for us and through us. How might we take from our abundance the hills and the mountains, whether it is the more tangible things, our resources, our time, our experience, or whether it is the less tangible things, our power, our influence, our privilege? How might we take from our abundance and give it away so that the valleys will be exalted? And how might we voluntarily and consciously be made low, give up our comfort so that others might be lifted up? Then the glory and the love of the Lord will be revealed, and all of us together, and all flesh will see it and feel it and bask in it together. What is this dream that God wants us to dream? What abundance is God calling us to give away? What comfort are we to give up so that others can be lifted up? God has a dream, and God doesn't dream alone. Let us together join in God's dream for us and through us so that all can experience the glory and the love of God. Amen.